Peace to you all. It has been a very full schedule. Before I go any further, antes que voy más adelante, quiero dar una, no una excusa, pero un disculpa que no voy a proveer una traducción entero del mensaje, porque el tiempo nos está venciendo rápidamente. I'm not going to be giving a full translation of the message, so that just wanted to make sure that was upfront and evident. It's been a long time since I've been here in this congregation, and it's a pleasure to be here again. I also want Church of God to encourage you to be supportive in every way you can to such works as the Shine Mission, and there's other organizations that are doing great and wonderful works. As believers in Jesus Christ, we need to give to such things, period. And brother, I really appreciate what you did for the offering. I well done. Well done. First Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. This is part of the men's retreat. Men, what are you? Head, it says. Does it not? Yes or no? Yes. Let's see what a head does. Ephesians 6. Hermanos, somos la cabeza. Vamos a ver qué la cabeza hace. Thank you. Capítulo 5, hermanos. Es un error. It's an error. Ephesians 6. Excuse me, Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. And what did he do? Gave himself for it. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man hath ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be, what will they be? One flesh. Verse 33, excuse me. Yes, verse 33, another error. Verso 33, otro error. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, And sisters, you're not left out of the discussion. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Marriage is in crisis in this country and throughout the world. I do not believe that many people can fully appreciate the destruction that is being done because marriage is falling apart everywhere, even in the church. I want to cut straight to the most important parts of today's message so that you don't miss it. Quiero ir rápidamente a la parte más importante del mensaje para que no se falle entenderlo. Here's what they call the takeaway. This is what you need to take home with you. This is what, when you leave, this is what you should stick with you and you should take home. First, foremost, you heads. Rubber feet. I don't hear all the sisters saying amen. You should be. Or don't you want this? Don't you like this? You don't like your feet rubbed? I didn't say tickle your feet. Is that what you would like? Amen. Take that away with you, brothers. Take that away with you. Secondly, pray with your children. Not for them. With them. Every day. If you can swing it. I mean, you're not always home every day. I know that. Things happen. Every day, pray with your children. These are the two most important things that you'll hear from me in this message. Take them with you. Why should we pray with our children? With them. Proverbs 22:6, a well-known passage. I'll begin it, you'll know it. Train up a child the way he should go. When he is old, not depart from it. My son is here with us today. I'm not sure where he's, oh, there he is. Did I pray with you as a child, son? These are his children. And all of their lives, they've had the same routine every night. It has never failed. Same routine, but it was necessary for his wife, one of the most wonderful women on the face of this planet, to put up a sign reminding them of what they're supposed to do, even though they've done this every night of their life. First, potty. Second, get your pajamas on. What do I do next? Brush your teeth. Books. And then, prayer. My son-in-law, I didn't raise him, but with his children, he's prayed every night. I want my grandchildren, when they grow up and have their children, to pray with them. And I want their children to pray with their children. You understand what I'm looking at? The older I've gotten, the longer my view is. The goal is way out there. We're at a war. We're in a war for our children and our grandchildren and for unseen and unknown generations of the future. You know, the Lord could come, but I'm not going to bank on it. Not today. I'm working for tomorrow and for 100 years from today. And if it need be, 1,000 years from today, that my descendants maybe mingled with your descendants will keep this faith that we have in Jesus Christ and pass it on. We need to teach our sons and our daughters, and maybe you're past this. See, many of you, we're old people. We're done with this business. Okay, put your grandsons, granddaughters, nieces, nephews, cousins, I don't care what they are, people that you may have influence with in your life, put them in here. I'll say sons, daughters, but that's who you can put in there. We need to teach them about the two most important decisions they will ever make in their life. The first, to follow Jesus. That's the most important. It is the one that will make the biggest difference in your life as to where your future will be, where it will go, what it will do. And this decision, notice I didn't just say to believe in Jesus. I said to do what? To follow him. To walk in his way. To hear his word. To take it into your life and make it a part of you. To make this your pathway of life. The most important decision we'll ever make is that decision. And this, you know, Jesus Christ made a commitment. And how much of his life was in that commitment? How much did he give? What percentage? We always like, how much did he give? Come on. He gave 100%. What does he ask of his followers? What does he ask of you? Come on, what is it? What's the requirement? He asked for 100%. Jesus gave his 100% for everyone who would hear him, whether they would or would not. Do you understand that? The commitment was there whether people heard him or not. Whether you believe or don't believe, whether you follow or don't follow, his commitment is still how much? 100%. An irrevocable, unchangeable commitment. What does he ask from you and me? An irrevocable, no holds barred, no limit commitment of 100%. That's Christianity. That's a tough call. Right? Have I ever given you the easy road? Have I ever told you that this is the easy way and here we're going to take it? Have I ever done that? Anybody ever? No. I never have offered that, and Jesus Christ never did. The second most important decision you will ever make in your life, and is similar to this one, who you will marry. And as I said, for most of us, my decision got made a long time ago, okay? This is also a commitment. I remember when I was young, people used to say marriage is a 50-50 deal, right? That's what they always said. That's what people always said. You know what? I don't believe that. That's not what the Bible teaches. When I got married, that isn't what I promised. What did I promise? 100%. It's 100%, 100% commitment. And you see, it doesn't matter what the other person does in such 100% commitment. Yours is still how much? It's 100%. And each of these commitments we treat as though they were not. We treat as though, it's optional, and well, you can, and you have rights and privileges. As soon as we introduce rights and privileges, we're lost, because that's not the teaching of Jesus Christ. Romans 6:2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The call is to what? How much? 100%. Marriage, our commitment to Christ, they go together. It's 100% commitment, no matter what. I don't know what your wedding vows were. See, people are making up their own nowadays, but there's traditional vows that had very important meaning. To have and to hold for better. And when you're getting married, do you think about the worse? No, you don't. It doesn't even enter your head, but it comes. Sickness and in health. When you're getting married, do you think about sickness coming? Do you think about that?
No.
Of course you don't. It's not what you're thinking about. Rich or poor? Do you think about being poor? No, you don't. It's not what you think about. But there it is. I remember I did actually make an alteration in my vows, because when we were going over it with my brother-in-law, who was the minister who presided, he said, well, here, to love, honor, and obey. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to promise that, because that's not Bible. Not to my wife. I'm sorry. That's not Bible. I'm not going to promise to love, honor, and obey her. And so we put cherish in. To love, honor, and cherish. And my wife looked it up in a dictionary, and she found out that cherish means to keep warm. That's what the word means. And so in cold winter days, Wisconsin, and she walks over to the thermostat and turns it up. And of course, most homes, there's the battle of the thermostat. What do I want to do? I'm trying to save some money here. I'm trying to avoid that poorer part, but she... You promised to cherish me. That means to keep warm. And I've heard this so many times that I don't even question it anymore. Yes, dear. Turn it up. Because that was a promise. It's a promise made, a promise kept. To cherish her. She's being kept warm. These are important decisions that will affect you for the rest of your life, no matter what. No matter how it plays out, it will affect you the rest of your life. These are important decisions we need to teach our young people to think hard and long about these things. They need to take them very seriously. It isn't a matter of making a bunch of rules and mandates, okay? Keep that in mind. This isn't the... every so often ministers in the Church of God get this idea that they're the boss and they can order everybody around. And come on, in Church of God, has that ever worked? Has that ever worked? No. So don't just leave that thought aside. That isn't how you can do it. But it can come from kindness, showing, working. We need to create a new culture in our minds within the Church of God on these issues. And see, You older people, you know, as you say, well, but you know, you're saying that I did. I'm not talking about you people that are all, this, we're old and we're done, okay? I'm talking about young people. I'm talking about, see, what I'm really talking about, this is what you have to really, I'm really talking about my grandchildren. And I have some grandchildren who are old enough to be marrying age. See, and I'm becoming more and more concerned about the decisions they're making and who they are going to marry. Who are they going to place their life with? How's it going to play? I am very concerned about it. And then I'm thinking beyond them, what about their children? Et cetera, et cetera. 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, and here's the phrase. Here's what I pulled this verse out for. Here's the phrase: have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. This phrasing, like precious faith. Each of us has a faith, and in our marriage, in our home, in our church, it should be a like precious faith. If two are not agreed, can they walk together? I mean, these are simple things, but we really need to take them very seriously. We need to be looking harder and harder into the future about these issues. Because God, in every problem, in every difficulty, in every separation, including the separation between us and Him, what does He offer to us? What does He give to us? What does He want for us? He wants us to give pardon, forgiveness. Oh, it's in Spanish. I just realized that. To be forgiven, He offers, but He gives more. What does He want? What else does He want? Reconciliation. And all the way, the real goal, restoration. God has wanted that for you and me with Him. He wants us to be restored in our relationship. Not just forgiven and moving on to something else, but forgiven, reconciled, and restored in the relationship. This is not just talking about our relationship with God. It is also talking about our home life and our families, and if you wish to go even further, within our church and our friends and everyone else. Every relationship of humanity has that same goal, to reach and get to the place of true restoration. This is the mindset. There is no problem. There is no difficulty. There is no evil that has befallen us that God cannot take care of. There is nothing that is bigger than God. That's reality. We have got to get this into our minds. I have, you know, a number of years ago, and I've talked about this before, people talk to me and say, oh, you need to come talk to us about marriage, and you need to come talk to, and I, me, why me? Like, I know a lot about marriage, and I'm not saying I don't know anything, but I don't feel like I know that much more. And my son, actually much wiser than I, thank God, he said, Dad, how long have you been married? Well, 40-some or something. That's valuable in this world we live in. A lot of people can't say that. They haven't made it. You obviously had something to offer. Okay. And by the way, anyone else in here that can say the same thing, you have something to offer. Because in the world we live in today, it's becoming less and less common. Moving on. I heard this song. It's a popular song, apparently, or it was when I heard it. I don't know who the artist is. It was written by
or not written by, but it was sung by someone called Pink, whoever that may be. I don't know how I heard it. I just know that I heard the lyrics, and I was very impressed with them, because this concept is what I really want to get across as well with the other two issues that I already mentioned. This is a concept that is very important, because every life, every relationship runs into troubles, problems, difficulties, breakdowns of all kinds. It's been written in the scars on our hearts. We get scars in our hearts with the people whom we love the most. But here's the thing. No matter how big the problem, no matter how bad it is, you know, you remember we said about the vows, for better or for worse. It doesn't get any worse than this. That's right, it doesn't. This is as bad as it gets. Even in that, we're not broken, just bent. We can learn to love again. Let God work. Wait for Him to work. Today, we're ready to throw things over and move on to, oh, I just got to move on. No, you know what? Let God work. Give Him time. God can and does work miracles. Absolute miracles. We just need to wait and let Him do His thing. Whenever we have a breakdown in relationships, remember, we're not broken, we're just bent. We can learn to love again. Don't forget, brothers. Rubber feet. Pray with your children. Peace to you all. God bless you.
Thank you, Jack. At this time, I'm going to ask you to stand, and the worship team is going to come forward, and we'll be led by the closing song. And then remain standing afterwards, and we'll have a closing prayer. I'd like to call on Oscar, if he'd come forward, please. And we'll have you say our closing prayer. He's a pastor in the Sioux Falls Church. And I'd like to have you also pray for the food, which we'll be taking part of. You'd be pleased to do so. You can come back here, sir. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, Almighty God, thank you for this fellowship that we have today. Thank you for this Sabbath day that we are enjoying. It's my first time here, but I'm enjoying. This is my family, as we were singing, the family of God. We are brothers and sisters, the same family. And it's good to know that I was born in another country, but I had family here because we are one family in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity, because this is a real, very, very good fellowship with our family. Thank you, God. Thank you for the food that was provided for us. Bless everybody here and continue blessing the men's retreat. Everything that we will have, please bless everything and give us the opportunity to learn to be better and to go back home better than yesterday. Thank you, God, and thank you, Jesus. We pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.